What are you gonna do with a woman? Yet when she got a back door friend, what are you gonna do with a woman? Yes, when she got a back door friend. She just praying for you to move out, so her back door friend can move in.
Right there, Backdoor Friend by Lightnin' Hopkins. This is on YouTube. That's the horrible. It sounded horrible. It's horrible as lightning can sound. And down below in the comments, are you there, Vinny? Are you alive?
Yeah, just waiting.
Down here in the comments, it says Lightnin' Hopkins was the king of Dowling Street. His blues message always resonates with me. My first wife had a backdoor friend, and that's why I'm in Fort Worth and always on the wander.
What a sad tale.
Always on the wander.
I'm in Fort Worth and always on the wander.
That is rough. Your first wife gets a backdoor friend, and you're left always on the wander.
In Fort Worth.
It's rough. Let's hear some sweet Latin. Sweet. Sounds like Lightnin' is actually doing the song over the Cubs fans' phone from last week. Underwater with the can and the string. Doesn't sound very good. All right, we got the Brian Vitti show today. Good God Almighty, we've got a lot to talk about. We've got the what do we have to talk about today? I was going to say the Summer Slam, but that's next month. We've got the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. I didn't watch SmackDown. I know, shocking. But Vinny will give some thoughts on that show and how much he hated Cody Rhodes and his bags.
Didn't hate? Okay.
That is true, is it not?
Did you just see the same post in the thread that I was just replying to?
Yeah, I didn't see what you were replying to it.
About 1% of my hate in the SmackDown rant was focused on Cody Rhodes and the bags. 99% of it was dedicated to the worst commentary of all time. Booker T, Michael Cole, and Josh Matthews can all go fuck themselves.
Tell me more.
Well, you see, in addition to merely being incompetent at their jobs, they seem to go out of their way to humiliate themselves and the performers in the ring and myself as a viewer. To the point where, yes, Cody Rhodes has a stupid bag gimmick. He comes out and he's passing out the bags. He had threatened Ted DiBiase that if he lost one more time, he would put a bag on his head himself.
Oh, no.
Exactly. So Michael Cole is talking about how terrible this would be, and then he says, here, I'll put one on myself. And he puts a paper bag on his head. Then this somehow, he said, made Booker look stupid. He started going off about Booker. Then he's like, you know, I'll just keep this on my head the entire show. Pointing out again, there is nothing wrong with having a goddamn bag in your head. So, then they started...
Please tell me he kept the bag on his head the entire show.
I don't know. The hell are we?
How did he do commentary with a bag on his head?
There's a hole in it.
I know, but so wait a. Oh, so I guess he had a headset.
Yes,
but still, wouldn't the bag be scratching against the headset and making that noise that you make all the time when you're fucking around with the mic?
Well, I guess he's better at it than I am.
Hmm.
So
that's impossible.
So they started asking Booker T about.
Even I give you too much credit,
Josh. Josh asked Booker T about his experience with Money in the Bank, and Booker rambled on about something else, something completely unrelated. So Cole cannot take this. He screamed at Booker, "What about Money in the Bank?" Booker could not answer again. He went off about something else entirely. So Cole couldn't take any more. He started making fun of Booker and all his cliches, all his poor English, all his mumbling. Booker sat there and took it like a complete geek. Then they started shouting at each other about cheerleading and drum majors. And finally, Cody won with his kick. Now, someone made a post in the thread about this newsletter that I just read right as you were starting Lightning Hopkins, and it got me off in a bad mood. They're like, "How could you be so mean to Cody?"
Easy.
I'm going to read exactly what it says here in my report. "I suspect that if I had muted my television, this would have been a good match. But I didn't. So all I could focus on was the dog shit announcers trying to get themselves over, and in the process dragging themselves and the show into a fiery pit of pain. An infuriating segment, fuck you."
So this person, what you're saying is they didn't read.
They did not read a fucking word. Now, here's what I said about Cody and Ted backstage. Ted DiBiase lost in a boring match to Ezekiel Jackson. Came back. I'll just read what it says. "After the match, DiBiase ran into a disappointed Cody Rhodes. He said he tried. Rhodes gave him a bag and said it was for losers. Then he changed his mind and said he would give Ted one more chance. But if Ted lost one more match, quote, I'm going to come to that ring and I'm going to personally put a paper bag over your head."
This fucking gimmick sucks.
He said this as dramatically and menacingly as he could, where these are grown men talking about paper bags. That's all I said about Cody Rhodes.
Why are you even defending yourself? I'll say it for you. This Cody Rhodes bag shit sucks. It fucking sucks. It is a man. Let's get this straight. Cody Rhodes is a skinny guy who doesn't cover up his legs, and he goes to the ring, and his gimmick is that he puts bags on people. And the fans that he puts bags on their heads, they all love being on TV. They don't care about being bagged at all. And in a menacing, menacing voice, while wearing a jockstrap on his head, he threatens to put bags on people's heads. This gimmick sucks!
It's pretty goddamn awful. Should we go through the show segment by segment?
I don't care.
That's really... That was...
I got nothing better to do tonight.
The first half of the show... I watched the first half of the show prior to watching Money in the Bank. So I was in a terrible mood when that show started, and thankfully that was a show for the ages.
You know, what did that guy say? This is not offensive.
I will read it. The thing that got me angry?
And just read his whole post.
This is from Steve Gray 21 of Ontario, Canada.
I didn't want to read his name, but that's fine.
That's his board name. Well, anyway. "Christ's sake, Vinny, why is there always so much venom toward Cody Rhodes? He spends 30 seconds tops having people hand out bags to the crowd. That's his gimmick. He finds people ugly. Then he has awesome matches with Daniel Bryan. The Bryan versus Rhodes / DiBiase feud has produced nothing but solid matches on SmackDown." Well, no shit. He's having good matches with Daniel Bryan. Holy cow, that's all jack off. "What exactly about this is insufferable television? Oh no, fans smile at the bags. It's not a great gimmick, but it's certainly inoffensive. And the in-ring work more than
that right
for
there
it.
Is what I take offense to right there,
don't,
Steve Gray.
Don't patronize us and tell us this is inoffensive.
No. What I take offense here to, and I have nothing against Steve Gray, but you've mentioned his name, so I'll say it here.
Nothing but solid matches.
No, here's the thing, though. Listen, and I'm not even angry at Steve Gray. I just hear this a lot, usually in reference to Impact. And all I have to say is, as fans, we're all fans here. Okay, we're all fans of pro wrestling. That's why we watch this stuff every week. But as fans, I am offended by people that accept shit. I'm not even saying that the Cody Rhodes thing is shit. But he himself admitted it's not a great gimmick. But what did he say? It's not offensive?
It's not a great gimmick, but it's certainly inoffensive.
Inoffensive, he said. Okay, well, you know what? It doesn't really offend me. There are things that offend me. So I would agree. It is an inoffensive angle. With all that said, we don't have to accept a goofy gimmick. We can expect more. That's all I ask.
You don't want to settle for inoffensive.
Let's all expect more. You know, why do we have to sit here and go, you know, There have been worse shows in the world than Impact, so we should accept it. No, we shouldn't. I want a good show on Thursday night. I want a great wrestling show on Thursday night. I don't want to settle for the bullshit that is Impact. I don't want to settle.
Hey, Impact blew SmackDown out of the water this week.
You want to know what? Let me add this to this whole Cody Rhodes thing. Perhaps Steve Gray has forgotten that when Cody first introduced this new gimmick, when Cody first claimed that he had been badly damaged by Rey Mysterio, and now he was wearing a face mask, and he was cutting these serious promos, I thought it was great. I thought Cody was great. And unfortunately, he went from being great to a comedy figure that puts bags on people's heads. Still cutting the same... This is the thing. When Cody was cutting serious promos, it was one thing when his gimmick was serious. When his gimmick is that he puts bags on people, and at the same time, he's trying to cut a serious promo about banging a man, doesn't work at all.
No.
You know what I mean? It just doesn't work at all. Like, imagine if Stone Cold Steve Austin was cutting the same Stone Cold Steve Austin promos, but meanwhile he was being booked by, like, Eric Young. Fail. An epic fail.
Well, just imagine if he was then putting bags on people's heads.
Yeah, it'd be ridiculous.
Yes.
If Steve Austin's gimmick was that he was Austin 316 and says, "I'm going to bag your ass," no buys. No one's buying that shirt.
That was Brian hitting the mic, everyone, not me.
I didn't hit the mic.
Something happened.
It was vitriol that hit the mic.
Mm.
So anyway.
Spittle.
Listen, we don't have to accept a stupid bag gimmick for Cody. We just don't. Let's expect more. Let's expect more from our wrestling. That's all I've got to say.
All right, well, getting through SmackDown here. Show opened with an Orton promo. Christian interrupted, and the gimmick was he was trying to get Orton pissed off so he would get disqualified on Sunday. So it worked. His plan worked. He spent this whole segment making fun of Orton's family and calling them pathetic, and Orton basically said, he called him a whiny flash in the pan whose only claim to fame is that his best friend helped him be world champion for 5 days. Then his music played, and I thought, if the gimmick is that Christian's trying to fuck with Orton's head, shouldn't he have gotten the last word here? But I guess it didn't matter. We had the boring Ezekiel Jackson, Teddy DiBiase match. So we talked about the Daniel Bryan shit. We had the generic black ref. Teddy had the generic black ref give a message to Big Show and Mark Henry. So if there's any physicality in their face-off tonight, their match at the pay-per-view would be canceled.
Oh, no.
Kane burst in, and he went on a rant about how he lost last week, and monsters shouldn't lose, and he felt less like a monster and more like a human, and he didn't like it, and he needed to beat the best SmackDown had to offer to be scarier or something like that. Jinder Mahal and Great Khali were doing a photo shoot when Mahal flipped out of the photographer for making Khali look like a star. They, yelled at him for a while, and his point was that Jinder Mahal should be the focus of everything. Christian found Orton's personal tour bus, which had been defaced, with the following message: Orton sucks, S-U-X. Teddy Long equals moron. Christian - uncrowned world champion. Christian vowed to get to the bottom of this. Sheamus and Sin Cara had a really fun match. It kind of made me sad, looking back at this, giving what happened to Sin Cara over the next 24 to 48 hours.
Poor bugger.
Yes, life sucks sometimes. This was really fun. They did a great job of mixing in Sin Cara's lucha with Sheamus'.
Hold on a second now. Yeah. We don't want to make Sin Cara necessarily come off as a complete victim here.
Sure.
Because most likely this was his fault.
It appears to be the majority his fault.
Mm-hmm.
It still sucks.
Sure.
Yeah. It's not a good thing. It sucks for me as a fan because I don't get to see fun matches like this. So, yeah, it was obviously mostly Sheamus throwing him around, and then he'd bust out some cool arm drags or whatever. Then in the end, Sheamus went for... He hit an SOS slam, so he's clearly been watching his Razor Ramon tapes. Then he went for the Razor's Edge and...
Hopefully old Razor Ramon.
And not the 2011 version?
Yeah.
I agree. He went for the Razor's Edge, and Cara in midair turned it into a Hurricane Rana for the win. Great finish. And afterwards, Wade Barrett hit the ring and laid out Sheamus, and then he pointed at the briefcase. And that might feud, or nothing may ever come of that. They were in, Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. They were in a casino somewhere. Christian said he had found a wallet backstage. He checked the ID, and oh, it just happened to be Randy Orton's. So he started throwing credit cards around and tossing personal photos around the room, and there was $1,000 cash in there, so...
He stole his wallet?
He stole his wallet. And he took the $1,000 in cash and bet it all on the roulette wheel on one. The wheel came up on 20. Christian was shocked that he had lost and said Orton's luck was running out. We had Mark Henry and Big Show. This is the...
That'd be a great angle if a heel were foiled by stealing a guy's wallet, finding all the money that he had in it, and in that man's name making some crazy bet, and then the babyface wins.
Sure.
That's what I'd do. I got a lot of booking ideas lately.
You're a mad genius.
Sure.
So, 4 days or 5 days or whatever after Big Show and Mark Henry went off the stage and both men nearly died, here they were having a verbal debate. Which, it sounds stupid. It kind of worked. Show came down to the ring. Henry stopped on the ramp and said he wouldn't go any farther for fear he would lose his temper. They threatened to tear each other apart. Show said he had lit a fire under Mark Henry's ass and he would put that fire out. And Henry said bigger wasn't better. Stronger was better. And finally, Show called him out and said, hell with it. You think you're better than me? Get your ass down here. Henry started to go. Teddy intervened. Security hit the ring and separated them. And finally, Teddy said, this Sunday, gentlemen, we will let God sort it out.
Really?
That's what he said.
I need to go watch this segment.
It was not bad by the end.
I like the idea that I lit a fire and now I'm going to put it out. That was a waste of time.
Well, what are you going to do when you're a Big Show and you've been around for a while and you're just bored? You light fires and you put them out. Rosa Mendez and Kelly Kelly had a god-awful match.
Couldn't he say, I lit a fire and I'm going to burn you down?
He could have. He could have. Yeah, Rosa Mendez and Kelly Kelly had a horrible match. Joss said Rosa was once a runway model in the Czech Republic. Cole started laughing hysterically at this as if there couldn't be models in the Czech Republic. If you spend any time on the internet at all, you have seen some hot models from the Czech Republic, I assure you. So, Rosa put on the funniest display of rope running since Nigel McGuinness and HWA about 15 years ago.
And worse than Kelly?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Imagine Kelly running like she does, but also doing high knees at the same time.
I must watch this show!
this is a cartoon. And then Kelly won with a fame asser. I will give credit to the announcers when they do say something funny. After this match, Booker T was plugging his Twitter account. He finished plugging whatever it is. I didn't even write it down. So Joss asked Michael Cole, are you on Twitter, Cole? And Cole says, not anymore. And there was a long, awkward silence, and they moved on. That was tremendous. I will not lie.
You know, I've told this story many times that in my first match, I never learned to run the ropes before. And so I hit the ropes for the first time and tripped and ended up hitting the middle rope like a midget. This was my first ever match, okay? First match I ever had in a ring. So then I went and I was taught how to run the ropes. And I could pretty much run the ropes by my second match.
Mm-hmm.
It's
not that hard.
It's
harder than it looks if you've never done it.
If you've never done it, it is certainly harder than it looks.
If you've had more than, say, 4 matches, you really ought to have it down.
I am absolutely...
If you're on the road full-time with a pro wrestling company, there's really no excuse.
Well, part of the problem is that whoever is training them in FCW is having them lead with the wrong foot.
Yeah.
Everyone that has come up from Florida runs ropes by taking off on the wrong foot. And thus they all suck at running the ropes. There are a couple of actual professionals who I don't know if they were just trained poorly or what happened, but they do the same thing. One of them is Christopher Daniels. He's been doing it wrong for so long that he can pull it off, and it looks fine. But 99.9% of all of the great workers that have ever been in this business have taken off starting with the other foot, and Florida is teaching it ass backwards.
Yeah.
And we've now got a generation of people coming up that can't run the goddamn ropes. Drives me nuts! Nuts! Go on.
Speaking of shit that drives us nuts, Johnny Curtis was on.
Oh, God, this guy.
His gag got screwed up. He tore the head off a stuffed elephant and gave it to an assistant. The assistant had to bury his face in the elephant head had to hide his laughter and or shame. Christian did another...
What was the joke supposed to be?
It was supposed to be there's going to be a... He said, I'm going to pull this out of the bag. And he reached into the bag, and you'd think it would be a cat, and it was an elephant. And he said, no, the elephant in the room gag was going to be next week.
Ha ha.
Someone's
ha.
Getting paid to write
ha,
this.
Ha 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 ha.
Christian did a deal where he played a scene from Randy Orton in that one movie. And then Christian appeared, you know, they paused.
I saw this, actually.
Yeah.
This was something else.
They did this once, I think, with Edge and Christian when they were in fact being dorks and feuding with the Hardy Boys. But yeah, Christian appeared on screen. He said Orton looked like a cave person and also, and I quote, a bad actor.
Actually, what was funny was I did see this segment. He was talking about how, wow, what a stretch. You played a douchebag.
Yeah.
And I thought, great! If you're going to have these wrestlers in movies, have them play something that they could do naturally.
Well, that's true.
I don't have any problem with Randy Orton playing a douchebag on the screen.
Yeah. Justin Gabriel and Heath Slater had a fun match. Pointless match. And people weren't in it too much, but they worked hard. They worked good. They did 1,000 arm wringer reversals, and if Jim Cornette saw this, I'm sure it would have brought a tear to his eye. Finally, Slater could take no more, and he got the heat with a punch. And then towards the end there, he missed a moonsault, and Gabriel hit the 450 for the win. It was pointless, but it was fun.
I watched the show last week, and I still have no idea why these guys were fighting. I know that they argued after a match, but was it really a breakup and heel turn right there?
No.
After all these years?
No. Slater did a promo before this saying that they had been 3-time tag champs, but lately Justin had been dropping the ball. He was tired of sharing the spotlight. He declared himself the one-man rock band, and everyone booed. He's hateable, but it's an annoying hateable, you know? It's not like I can't wait for Heath Slater to come out so I can boo him. It's like, boy, I sure wish Heath would shut up and wrestle. Anyway.
That's a start.
His wrestling is great. I love watching Heath wrestle. Kane versus Orton. They only went like 3 or 4 minutes. Christian came out and... they both been in it outside. Orton chased Christian into the crowd. Then he realized he was about to get countered out. Before he could get back in the ring, Christian splashed him with water. This distracted Orton again. And so he chased Christian again. So he was countered out. So Kane won. They all ended up back in the ring. Long story short, Orton RKO'd Kane, but then he turned around and ate a spear from Christian. Then Christian grabbed a chair and was about to kill Orton, but Orton cut him off, so Christian fled. So Orton beat the hell out of poor Kane with a chair. That was the end of the show.
What a goofy go-home show.
That was a very elaborate, complicated last segment. You don't need to watch much if you did not see that one.
But I do need to watch a little.
Apparently there's 2 things you need to see.
Do need to watch a little. All right, let's play a quick song here, and then we will talk about... I think there was a pay-per-view this weekend, is that correct?
I seem to recall something about a show at Craig's house.
All right, let's play this one here. I don't even know what this is.
Painted black.
I see the girls walk by dressed in their summer clothes.
Ah!
I have to turn my head until my darkness goes.
Oh! A fade out.
That was random.
Nice little fade out right there. All right, the pay-per-view this weekend. I thought it was a fine show.
Thumbs up.
Underwhelmed. Brian sounds underwhelmed, somebody said.
I didn't hear.
Yeah,
because
our website was down, and I was trying to deal with that as I did the show.
Yeah.
I was underwhelmed with our website being down.
Well, I feel kind of stupid saying this here. Most people are going to listen to this Wednesday afternoon for a show that was on Sunday, so I'm sure you've all heard by now. But Money in the Bank was one of the great pay-per-views of all time. It was right up there with Mania X7, Calgary Stampede, there was a WCW, Great American Bash in 89 or something that people always talk about, and this was right up there with anything else you want to bring up as a great pay-per-view event. I counted, and to be fair, most reviews that I have seen were not as generous as mine, but I counted 4 separate 4-star matches in the show. I loved both title matches, I loved both ladder matches. This show was awesome. And... in case you don't care about good, in case you care about more than just in-ring action, you need something important, something memorable, something historic, that main event is going to be something special for a long, 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 long time. This show had everything.
I just, until they screw it up. Is it wrong for me to just presume at some point this is going to be screwed up?
Not necessarily.
They have gone 4 weeks successfully.
Yeah.
That's good. But in the grand scheme of things, that's 1 month. Something's bound to go wrong.
If CM Punk had appeared the next night on Raw, it would have been screwed up.
Well, not if you... I still wish they'd done my idea, and they could have done it. They could have done it almost exactly the same way they did it on Raw, with them just pretending like it never happened. And my idea was to go along with them pretending that it never happened. You have to have CM Punk appear in the crowd, like he enters the building. But the moment he appears in the crowd, they have to cut as far away from CM Punk as humanly possible so that you never, ever see him on television. All you see
is... Oh, that's a hell of an idea.
No, it is. Because all you would see...
You never see him on television?
No. All you see... Because they're pretending he doesn't exist. They're pretending that he didn't actually win the title. So all you would see after you knew and everybody knew and all of the wrestlers were having to pretend like, you know... This never happened, even though everybody knows it did happen. You would have that moment during the show, preferably in a match with not geeks, because they always have a guy make that appearance in a match with geeks. You got to do it in, like, you know, a top-of-the-hour match, where in the middle of the match, all of a sudden, for some strange reason, they cut to a random shot in a weird area, and all you see is everybody in the entire fucking building getting to their feet, and they're all looking to one part in the building, and you can't see what's there, and they're going nuts, and all of a sudden, they're just going crazy chanting CM Punk. I think that would be awesome. You've got to keep this... In order to make... Here's my deal. In order to make this seem like not just any other wrestling angle... You need to make it different, you know. When the guy who's been has been kicked out and they're never going to mention his name again, and maybe if you did my deal, you pretend like it never even happened, whatever the case might be, you know. When you're pretending like that guy's gone and you're never going to see or hear about him again, you know, you got to keep reminding people that he's either going to be back or he's trying to get in or whatever. But you got to make it different. You don't just cut to a shot of the guy like they do whenever it's any other normal angle, okay? But if you do it right, everybody in the world knows he's there. The fans are telling you he's there. The fans are all going nuts because he's there. But they don't show it to you, which makes you want to see it even more. Yeah.
I am not sold.
You just got to do it that way.
I envision seeing this, and you're watching, for example, let's just say Rey Mysterio and Miz are in the ring having a match, and no one's paying attention to the match. They're all paying attention to something in the crowd, and you at home can't see what they're paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
That would not entice people. I think it would just enrage them.
Yeah.
Or confuse them.
No, because everybody would chant his name. I guarantee it.
They would say, okay, show me Punk. What's happening?
Yeah.
Is there a guy dressed like Punk in the crowd?
And you
Is
tune
there a
in,
CM Punk sign?
And you tune in next week to find out what's going on. I think it would work with this angle. I think it would work with this angle. You know? You have to make it a little bit different. Like, they really badly don't want you to see CM Punk. And you really badly want to see him. And then you build up to the day that you finally get to see him.
Well, they're doing that anyway by having this not be there.
It's just like old school. It's just like the old the Buddy Rose deal where he got his head shaved. And so you showed up the next week to see...
The CM Punk deal where he got his head shaved, for that matter.
Yeah, you showed up the next week to see the guy bald and instead he's got a hairpiece on. And then you're begging for a heel to pull that thing off his head. And he keeps escaping. And every week you're waiting for that heel to finally do it. And then after such and such many weeks when you're just going nuts, they pull that thing off, there's his bald head, and everybody's like, aha, the best thing I ever saw. That's what you got to do. You got to build it up. Just give it all away. I'm talking old school booking here. Anyway, that's not what they did.
No.
But there's still time.
I thought what they did was to do your thing, or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's still time to have him sneak in, but you do whatever you can to not show him. Although I don't know why he would sneak in.
I don't know how you can... He has to be seen on camera.
Yeah.
I mean...
Later. Not immediately.
Disagree.
Listen, the fans totally know what's going on here. You know?
Think about that. Wrestling fans, Brian.
Okay, did you...
A wrestling fan turns on Raw, and there's the match going on the ring, and the crowd is going crazy chanting for Punk. They're going to say, what's going on? Where is CM Punk in the crowd? What's happening?
Exactly.
And if they don't see CM Punk, they won't know what's happening.
But
will they want to turn in next week to not know what's happening a second time.
Vince, you are giving the fans absolutely no credit.
Correct.
Listen, they didn't have to show clips of ROH for punk, for them to understand what punk meant when he said he was going to take it to ROH or New Japan, another wrestling company.
That was one line in a 10-minute promo.
And
most of the crowd didn't get it.
Listen, if you look back at like old storylines, this is like a new phenomenon where you presume the fans are so goddamn stupid. It's like a new phenomenon that Vince Russo has ushered in. Like you've got to tell these people what's going on because they're too goddamn stupid to figure it out. It's not the case. You know, there's been a lot of angles. There's been a lot of storylines that were fairly complex, and you had to do a lot of thinking. And I want to bring that back. I don't like this bullshit of, oh, these people are so fucking stupid. We have to show CM Punk and put a graphic on the screen so people know who this guy is. I mean, this is the number one storyline in the entire company. And it's over now. It's too late. But, you know, Vince came out. He wouldn't even mention the guy's name. You know, he wouldn't even, he said you'd never see him again. You'd never hear of him again. This would have worked. This would have worked in this instance. That's all I'm saying.
The only way it would have worked is if the announcers had said, no, don't show him. It's that invader. It's the outsider. Get him off camera right now. That jerky. And have them cut a promo on him, too.
Fans.
He turned his back on them.
Fans are not this dumb. I firmly believe that.
Well, you have more faith in people than I do.
Just because someone wrote something that made you mad doesn't mean you need to think that the fans are dumb.
You think I just changed my mind because of that one guy?
Sure.
No, never mind. They've been hanging out with wrestling fans for their most of my life.
Oh, Vinny.
Yeah.
Oh, Vinny.
Fans are dumb.
Jesus. An angry, bitter man today.
I can be. Actually, what I was not until I saw that post. And that.
See?
It's not that you changed my mind on wrestling fans. I mean, I think I thought fans were stupid, but I may not have mentioned it here on the show. But he made me angry. To be fair, I think most people are stupid.
Oh, well, that makes it better.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So yeah, Money in the Bank was good.
Great, let's play a song.
All right.
You have nothing more to say about the pay-per-view?
You took up all my time talking about your stupid idea.
What time? We don't have a time limit on this show. We could be here for 4 hours if we wanted to.
We don't. All right, let me have my notes again then. I don't know what else I can really cover. I mean, there were four awesome matches. Why did I open my Impact notes? What the hell is that shit? There were four awesome matches. There was a Big Show Mark Henry match that was not awesome. I will not lie. It was fine. There was a women's match that was, in fact, horrendous. And that's it.
Well, let's just play Moose Knuckle then.
Moose Knuckle.
Wow, Moose Knuckle. Moose Knuckle.
Mm.
Yeah. Were fans too stupid to figure out what that was supposed to mean? Actually, I didn't know for a long time. Yeah, get it, Moose Knuckle, Camel Toe.
I was going to say, yes.
Ha ha.
Who smartened you up to that?
See, that's shit right there. That is shit. My idea is not shit. Raw.
Raw opened with the usual WWE graphic, and the last thing it says is, the last thing you hear is Cena saying, the champ is here. No. No, he isn't. Vince came out in a jacket. I spent a long time looking for the right word to describe this jacket. I settled on fuchsia. It was not pink. It wasn't purple. It wasn't lavender. It wasn't carnation. It wasn't salmon. I think it was fuchsia.
Salmon?
It was not salmon. It's a shade of pink.
It was pink.
It was fuchsia.
It's just a big pink suit.
Well, he had gray pants. So he vowed to never mention that man's name again. The crowd was rapidly chanting CM Punk.
How did the fans know who he was talking about? He didn't mention his name.
They were chanting it anyway.
Hmm. I was just asking.
You're stuck on your idea. This is why I never fucking argue with you, because you won't let anything go. This goes back to...
This I gotta hear.
This goes back to a moment I am not proud of, but we did the Mania review and I had the flip out about the troops and everyone thought, oh, Vince got so upset about, I wasn't upset, and I never, it's been like a year and a half and I never talked about this.
Vaguely
I was
this.
Not angry with you for disagreeing with me. I was angry with you because you wouldn't let it go. You wouldn't let me move on. You kicked me back to the same fucking point. You're doing it here again, but I'm in a happier place in my life, and so I'm not going to scream and squeal like a lunatic. But let's just move on.
I don't remember saying anything.
Okay.
I'm perfectly calm, dude.
I'm trying to be, but it's not in my nature to be calm. It's really not, unless I'm alone. I'm very calm usually when I'm in solitude. So he called this man the biggest drain great in history, the man who turned his back on the fans and everyone in the back, everyone who had ever wrestled in the ring, called him an egotistical, selfish turd. That made me laugh. He said no man was bigger than WWE. They were a juggernaut that could not be stopped. He announced the 8-man tournament, and they put up the graphics and the brackets and the graphics for each match, and they've taken the photo of Alberto and photoshopped in the Money in the Bank briefcase with it. And if you look at how they've done this, it's not a very good Photoshop. And from the position his arm is in to where his hand is on the briefcase, it appears that the distance from his elbow to his wrist is a good 4.5 feet. It made me laugh. These are things I notice. So he promised a night of historic proportions. That was that. 5 minutes and done. Cole went on Cena's Twitter, said he had been future endeavored and apologized to The Rock. We had Miz versus Riley in a match where one man, a larger man for that matter, had a weakened opponent who came in with an injury. He targeted this injury and dominated him for 90% of the match. And he choked at the end and could not put this man away, and then was defeated cleanly by a man who fought back courageously. One of these men is supposed to be the babyface.
And he's clearly turning heel. Or babyface.
Miz is turning babyface, and Riley's apparently either fired or turning heel. This was amazing. This was how not to book any match, actually.
I'm almost certain that Miz's babyface turn started at the pay-per-view. When he courageously ran back to win, that was his babyface turn. Or the beginning of it.
Yeah. Miz here was, in fact, outmatched and outgunned and injured, and he fought through it all to overcome his younger... He may not be younger. Is he younger? His bigger, fresher, healthier opponent, and defeated him like a hero. And there was one point in here when they were... Vincent mentioned there would be severe consequences for Cena later, and they were debating what that would mean. Cole said, and I quote, "I find it hard to believe that the chairman of the company is going to fire his moneymaker." I found that funny for some reason. We had a cool John Morrison highlight video. Truth wrestled Swagger in a match.
Well, last week they pretty much admitted it was bullshit.
Yeah, they did. They did. Truth versus Swagger in a match that had no hope. They did their best. There was a lockup in this that made me cry out in pain. Jack Swagger, I realized the collar and elbow tie-up was not actually done in amateur wrestling. But when your gimmick is that you are a great grappler and you can't do a decent lockup, that's no good. There's also a point here where Truth did a spit cell, and the referee had to stop watching the wrestling and follow the spit to see how far it went. That made me laugh. So, there was not a lot of heat, except the crowd occasionally chanting Little Jimmy. Truth eventually turned the ankle lock into a roll-up for the win, and that was that. Alberto, well, he wrestled Kofi, but before that he got a promo, which was always great news. He said he tried to cash in his briefcase last night, but that something dog ran like a chicken. I did not understand the first word because it was in Spanish. And he said this was all because Cena could not do the job. He hoped Cena was fired because the WWE needed a new leader. It was his destiny to be WWE champion. Then his music played and out came Ricardo. I was so happy. Ricardo Rodriguez is back. He makes this act so much better. He just came out and said Alberto's name repeatedly. Alberto was so happy to hear his name pronounced correctly again. This was awesome. So Alberto wrestled Kofi. It's gotten to the point now where when Kofi goes for that jump in the corner and actually hits it, I'm surprised. And it was an okay match, and Alberto went for his armbar. They did a bunch of reversals, and Kofi won with a roll-up. Cole was saying the shoulder was up. Later, he said it was down. Whatever. It was fine. We had an interview with Kofi backstage. He vowed to become the new WWE champion. One down, two to go, he said. Rey Mysterio versus Dolph Ziggler. Rey was wearing the KISS gear tonight.
Atlantis.
What's that?
Atlantis.
No, this was specifically like KISS, the band. Mm. The mask was inspired by Gene Simmons' makeup. They worked this is a hell of a TV match, although it was not Ray's best match of the night. They worked their asses off at a very fast pace and didn't fuck up anything. And before too long, Ray hit the 619 and the splash for the win. This was fun. I was hoping, by the way, that Ray would wear different gear in each match, like Randy Savage did at that one WrestleMania, but it was not to be. You had the Mania travel package commercial.
It's because he didn't tell him till the day of that he was going to wrestle three times.
Well, that's a good reason. The commercial did not mention John Cena, nor did he appear. It just showed Rock about 7,000 times. A pointless women's match with, I believe, 14 or 16 girls out there. Only two of them were actually in the ring, and they still managed to fuck something up. Beth pinned Rosa.
Gee, I wonder why. Rosa was in the fucking ring.
Rosa was in the ring. Beth pinned her with a bitch clamp, to which Cole replied, "Thank goodness that lasted about 30 seconds. Also hear the announcers, and this is actually kind of funny, they're bitching about what Joy Styles said about them on Twitter. Made me laugh. So Beth stared down Kelly afterwards, so I guess they're now going to do Beth versus Kelly, which is, well, Kelly better not win.
Well, maybe that will play into the CM Punk storyline, since he's dating Beth.
Could be.
She can take her title and leave.
Actually, that'd be awesome. We had Kofi versus Miz. The crowd was not into much during the show, but they were into the near falls here at the end. And for the second time in as many matches, Miz fought back with a crippling leg injury and hit his finisher to win clean. Cole pointed out this was a courageous showing by Miz. He was correct. Miz was also bleeding from the mouth. Truth cut a promo backstage, said it was a conspiracy keeping him from getting the briefcase. Told little Jimmy to close his eyes and said Ray was going to get got. Somebody's going to get got. I said little Jimmy's going to get got.
The title was going to get got.
The title's going to get got. That makes more sense. My notes were right. Were wrong. Tough enough, Andy visited the meth lab where he grew up. They were interrupted by a stranger at the door. Andy didn't know who it was, but told everyone to be careful when they left. And that was it. Ray and Truth had a very, very, very fun match. There's more sustained heat for this than anything else in the show. Dolph and Ray was technically better, although the pacing here was paced better, so that people were into it when Ray made his big comeback at the end. And he won with the 619 and the torpedo splash again, so thumbs up for Ray Mysterio. So at this point,
I thought that was by far the best match on the show.
It was the best match on the show for sure. I liked the Dolph match better than you did, but whatever. So it was set to be Ray versus Miz for the WWE title. Vince came out looking distressed. He said he was sorry, Ray. He would not deny you or Miz the opportunity to be WWE champion, but they're running out of time. Why didn't they just say, we're going to do the first round of semifinals this week and the finals will be next week?
Because the point is, Vince is making a bunch of stupid decisions.
Mm.
He interrupted a world championship match just so he could fire John Cena. It's the act of a crazy man.
Well, I guess that makes some sense. Maybe I'm the stupid one. Well, that's always a possibility, by the way. I'm always willing to accept the possibility that I'm, in fact, the stupid one here.
I am, too.
Yeah. So I did notice here that last week, after Punk insisted under penalty under threat of leaving the company with the title, he insisted Vince apologize, and finally Vince said, "I apologize, you son of a bitch." Here, a week later, Vince, he postpones the finals until next week and just says, "I apologize." Just moved on. I guess the first time is always the hardest. So, yeah, the long, long, long ass last segment. Vince cut a promo. He called out Cena. Before he could say anything, Cena said he was not going to end up like Shawn. Shawn was the best wrestler ever, and all anyone wanted to talk about for years was how he screwed Bret. He wasn't going to let that happen to him. He was not going to be the guy who screwed Punk. So if you fire me, go ahead. I'll leave with my head held high. But I must tell you, the only thing I can really do is wrestle, so if you're not wrestling here, I'm going to wrestle for someone else. Brother. And at this point, about four guys chanted TNA, which is the name of a company that no longer exists. So, there you go, Impact. That's your big plug.
By the way, nobody ever... Well, I guess there were some people, but when people were talking about who screwed Bret, they were talking about Vince or Earl Hebner.
Oh, Sean heard it.
Sean heard it a little bit, but it was mostly Vince and Earl Hebner. And not to mention the fact that the key that Cena was missing here was Vince was trying to fuck Punk without Cena's knowledge. Cena had Punk in a hold, and Vince was going to call for the bell. Sean was in on it. It was the entire key to fucking Montreal. He was in on it. He was in on this with Vince. So it was an entirely different situation. I'm overanalyzing this.
That's assuming you can trust John Cena. Perhaps he is lying. So, finally, after all
perhaps
this...
Perhaps not.
Vince could take no more. He was about to fire Cena. Actually, what he said was, this is about to hurt... This will hurt me personally and professionally. And at this point, Triple H interrupted. Came out. He didn't have a mic. They were whispering to each other. Vince finally got on a mic. Hunter was not thrilled. Long story short, Hunter said that there had been a meeting. People were upset with the direction, the decisions Vince was making. He had been making extremely questionable decisions. The board had filed an injunction against Vince with a vote of no confidence, and the family agrees. And they have appointed someone to take over day-to-day operations of WWE. It's me, Hunter said. This made the crowd very happy. It also somehow inexplicably led to a Cena chance. So Hunter said Cena wasn't fired, and then he announced that Vince was relieved of his duties. Vince McMahon, in the performance of a lifetime, was sobbing by this point. Tears were flowing down his face unabated. An amazing performance. Hunter was good as well. He took no joy in this announcement. He was doing his best to work in some tears. He couldn't quite pull it off. The crowd was a bunch of dicks singing the goodbye song. Finally, Hunter said, "I love you, Pop, and I'm sorry," and he walked away.
The fans were being dicks.
Yes.
Vince has killed himself off for 5 straight years.
Well, that is also true. But here's a man.
5 straight years.
Here's a man weeping in the ring, and they are singing a mocking song at him.
The man was killed.
He was blown up.
He was blown up. He had a stage fall.
He was blown
to
smithereens.
He was put in a coma. He sold the company. There's one more as well. And now you're sad because he's been relieved of his duties.
Sure.
By Triple H.
Yes. So they finally gave him a big ovation and chanted, "Thank you, Vince," and the show ended.
How did they know he was going to fire Cena?
Track record? Prior history?
He claimed it last week, but on this show he just said there would be harsh consequences.
That's true.
Maybe he was going to dock his pay. Still let him wrestle. Maybe he was going to award him, maybe he was going to draft him to SmackDown, get him out of his hair. Hunter may have jumped the gun here. We'll never know.
You actually are 100% right on that one.
Hmm. So there you go, everybody. That's Raw. And next week, it's Miz versus Rey to find out who gets the title, if either of them do. So, yeah. Let's play a song.
Hey, it's Arte. No more, no more. It cannot wait. I'm
done, guys.
All right.
A good one. Poor Kimbo.
Yeah. He had a quick run, didn't he?
What else do we have here? Let me play one more before we do World of Hurt. Oh, here's a great one.
Squat thrust, squat thrust, squat thrust. You can give it to me when I need to come along. Squat thrust, squat thrust, squat thrust.
And I guess it just ends.
When does the great part start?
That's not the squat thrust song that I thought it was. There's a better squat thrust song.
I remember it now. It's Donna Summer, I believe.
I don't know where the hell it is. Hmm. All right, one more here.
Okay.
Okay, this one I know is good.
I did like the sign the fan had that said, "Batista, shake them ropes." And that poor fan, now that I think about it, never got to see Dave shake the ropes.
That should be a shirt. I like it when you shake them ropes.
Watch yourself!
Shake them ropes.
Show me what you're working with.
Shake them ropes.
Watch yourself!
Shake them ropes.
I came here with my dick in my hand. So maybe
Yakuza kick him in the ass.
Be cool.
Shake them ropes.
Watch yourself!
Shake them ropes.
Show me what you're working with.
Shake them ropes.
Watch yourself.
Shake them ropes. Anybody who thinks that we're bad on this show as far as being good radio hosts, you ain't seen nothing yet. Should have played that when Big Dave was on the show.
Yes, actually, in hindsight.
God damn, that would have been awesome.
You better get him back on then. Just bring him back on and say, "Dave, I want you to hear this song." Get his reaction, then say thanks and hang up. Plug his wacky gym or whatever.
So, World of Hurt, we got one episode left. I just ignored you. We got one episode left before the big one. This was the Tennille Taylor match, or show, and match. She had a match here. Next week, it's the French Stallion.
That's all that matters. I barely want to talk about this one. Except that, well, no, I do now, because you mentioned, apparently Lance Storm told you this was his favorite episode.
As he said.
So, the episode was episode 9, entitled Stop Fixing Your Hair.
Well, the only thing I figured was there was a shot of Tennille early changing. She took off her top, she took off her bottoms, she was virtually nude.
It was the show always opens with a shot of Lance Storm in the apron, cutting a promo about what is important, and this week's speech was Lance Storm telling us the importance of sex appeal.
That's what he said.
That joke writes itself. So after talking about this, he said, if sex appeal was all you had, you were fucked. And then we were introduced...
Oh, is that so?
You like that? I thought that was very clever how I wrote that. At that point, we met Tennille Taylor, a hot Australian girl, and she was doing this interview about her dreams and aspirations and what she wants to do in wrestling. And as she is speaking, she's very calmly and matter-of-factly completely disrobing. She's stripped to a sports bra and some very, very tiny underwear. I realize Australians are not as uptight about nudity as we are, but she was basically naked here.
Yeah.
So she used to date Carlo, who's one of the other students. So she flirted with him for a while. Then French Stallion saw her and was trying to get her to do all sorts of lewd stretches.
I mean, they were good stretches. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, they would effectively stretch your groin.
Yeah.
And perhaps your glutes as well. Sadly, she would not go along. Dylan said something, I did not write it down his exact words, but it was something very close to, all female wrestlers are sluts.
I like the idea that it would stretch your groin and your glutes.
Well, it would show off your glutes.
Because those are on separate sides of your body. I'd be fascinated how that would work.
I'm aware. So, Carlo admitted that it bothered him watching his ex-girlfriend flirt with other dudes. So, after all this...
Well, he's got problems then.
Especially in wrestling.
This is his ex.
Yes. And there's other dudes there. And, yeah. So, the whole point of this, we were told, was that, you know, if all you had was sex appeal, then you were fucked. So then she gets in the ring, and the first thing she does is take a bump and separate her shoulder. This was gruesome and gross. And after the break, she popped her own shoulder back in. So, I believe Lance said, and there was a point here where they went backstage, and we couldn't hear anything they were saying. But I believe Lance said, you're manlier than I am. Which, quite frankly, she popped her own shoulder back in. I can't argue. She's manlier than me.
Well, the reality is if she took a flat back bump and her shoulder popped out, it probably pops out like all the time.
That's also possible.
And it's probably something she's used to doing, popping it back in. Not to say she's not tough. I'm just saying.
She's done it before?
She's done this probably many times before.
Yeah. So she took the rest of the day off. The next day, she was back at it, and she was, in fact, fixing her hair after every move. Although, quite frankly, I recall many, many years ago watching a Kevin Nash pay-per-view match, and we counted the number of times he fixed his hair, and it was much more than this.
He was a diva.
He was a diva. So, KC was making fun of Tennille for being a pretty girl. Dylan was making fun of KC for being fat. Later, Carlo and Tennille had a moment or something in the kitchen. All I know is that they were in the kitchen, and there's a picture of Lance in the fridge looking stern, and the words under the picture said, Lance Storm is watching you.
Mm-hmm.
I need one of these.
I couldn't figure out what the hell they were talking about in the kitchen. One of them was having rekindled feelings for the other, and the other wasn't feeling it. And I couldn't figure out who was having feelings for who. I believe that she kept calling him Colin. Is that what she's saying, or is this her accent?
I think it's just her accent.
I hope his name is Colin.
He said it was Carlo.
Colin Cannon. I've heard worse.
I've heard... Yes. Many of which are in WWE right now. So, Lance was demonstrating aggression by beating up Carlo. He pulled Tennille into the ring and had her show aggression by beating up Carlo, but she couldn't do it. She would throw this horrible strikes and then fix her gear or fix her hair or whatever. They were trying so hard to piss her off and get some kind of energy, and after about an hour, it seemed to finally worked. French Stallion appeared on screen with a graphic identifying him as, and I quote, consistently chauvinistic. And he told Tennille he liked her facials.
He kept explaining, I like your facials. And she was like, "What?" And he said, "Your facials." And she goes, "You mean like my expressions?" And he went, "Yeah." So that's essentially the entire segment.
Then she thought it was her makeup, but yes. So it was live event night.
That was an amazing moment for a number of reasons.
Which one? The facial comment?
Yes.
No. Well,
you mean my lipstick?
And then he just chuckled again.
Yeah.
Yeah, next week episode will be better because it'll be all about Frenchie.
I would have blown up at this point if she still didn't get it after that. Like, really? You don't get it? Do I have to illustrate this? Can I?
Demonstrate?
I mean, if I were Frenchie. Not me personally, of course.
No. That would be lewd. So it was live event night. Tennille showed up wearing sunglasses inside. Everyone thought she was hungover. Then Casey, before her match, said, "If you were in wrestling to make money, then you shouldn't really be in it."
She can't possibly have said that.
It was something very close to that. Something like you had to be something you wanted and desired, not just to as a way to make cash. Hmm. But that would explain why she wrestles for Tulalip Championship Wrestling.
She better tell Cash Money about this.
Yeah. So we had our match, Tennille Taylor versus Casey Spinelli. The TV announcer described Tennille as 128 pounds of sexuality and beauty.
Who are these announcers?
Don't know.
I need to get Lance on the show to talk about this. I don't know if they actually do commentary like this, or if this was commentary designed especially for this show.
I would bet money is the producers of the show adding commentary later. So, Tennille was stalling by stretching the ropes, and Lance Storm couldn't stop giggling.
They had to have gotten a shot of something else happening.
Yes, that was my thought as well.
Some guy did something wacky, or some fan did something stupid, or whatever, and they got a shot of Lance howling, because I cannot even... Listen, I've seen Lance howl a couple of times. It's rare. The idea that he was howling over her stretching on the ropes is so beyond preposterous. I mean, this is like just completely outlandish. But that's what he was doing, supposedly.
Yes, so...
She's stretching on the ropes.
Like you'd never seen it before.
No.
So, she proceeded to wrestle poorly. And then at a random point, the announcer said she was wrestling better. I saw no sign of this. Then Casey won with a DDT. At this point, you noticed the referee had a giant spiky mohawk.
Oh, did that get my blood boiling?
It did.
Lance, if you're listening to this right now, I'll need an explanation for a referee with a mohawk. The whole idea of a referee is to not be noticed.
See, well, you're right. But
I remember when we used to wrestle and you know, they couldn't find a ref, so they ended up putting one of the wrestlers in there. So it's like me, you know, 5'7", 145 pounds, and another small guy. And then meanwhile, there's a 6'4 ref that weighs like 250 pounds. It was just completely ridiculous. And here you have a referee who just... For whatever reason, this ref found it important to spike his hair into a mohawk before he went out there to referee this match. That was too much for me. I can't even handle the referee on impact with blue shoes.
See, that's what I was going to bring
up. Take those fucking shoes off.
The blue shoes are much worse than the mohawk.
You're a guy who is there to count a pin. That's it. You're not a worker. You're not one of the guys.
Not the star.
And maybe you are, but you're not supposed to come off like that. Okay? You're an arbiter. You're a guy hired by an athletic commission who's usually no good, especially the local commissions. It's all you are. That's your gimmick. Not a guy with more of a unique look than the wrestlers. I'm sure this guy's a nice guy. But stop doing your hair like that if you're gonna ref. This was a special referee. Anyway.
Yes, so yeah. So then it was time for the evaluation. Lance told her there was one reason she hadn't made it yet. And then basically he said she had plateaued, but if she did a little better, she would do well. Did I miss anything about this evaluation?
Well, he seemed to indicate that if she became a little more aggressive, she would be a great worker.
Hmm.
I didn't really see that.
I think there's more than just a little more aggression that she needs.
I mean, she's no... Tells her name on SmackDown. She's no Rosa Mendez, don't get me wrong. But I don't know if great worker is the term that I would use based on this show. I could be wrong! I didn't see the whole match. But And he didn't say she'd make fucking money either.
I don't think so.
What did he I wonder if he told KC that. We should go back. Because she doesn't care about money, apparently.
I guess. So I could summarize this episode, but all that matters is that next week, finally. Because I'll be honest, the last 3 or 4 weeks of this, it's been pretty stale. But next week is the French Stallion show, and I can't wait.
We saw a brief preview of it, and they saved the best for last.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard a lot of people that have seen that episode, and they have said the same thing. This episode is awesome. Every person who's seen this episode has said it is awesome. So next week, and next week is a members-only show, we're going to review the French Stallion episode. And I absolutely cannot wait. So, let's wrap this up. One last song. I found it. A song I've been wanting to play for a while. This is a good one. And a great way to end this special program. Here we go.
Fucking bitch! Fucking a fucking ass!
You go through all the pain in life. You turn your back, gone so fast. Yeah. And it comes so fast. Yeah. All sort of to the ones who really care. Yeah, go up, die, don't take it.
Should have done an angle where Kali was backstage listening to that song over and over and Jinder Mahal walked in and had to kick his ass. That would have been a great angle on SmackDown. I'm full of them. Anyway, we're out of here. Tomorrow, got a big show. King Mo is going to be on the show with myself and Josh Nazan. And then later on, after a brush with open heart surgery, Bruno Sammartino is going to be on the show with Dave and I.
Wow.
So it's going to be an awesome show. So check it out tomorrow. And a new issue of The Observer is going to be up. We got a new figure four. There's a new back issue of The Observer. There's a million shows. Check it out, everybody. And we'll chat with you again after a while.
Adios.